Hi, my name is Danielle, and you're listening to Crime and Mystery Canada. On this podcast, we discuss subjects that might be creepy to some and sometimes even frightening. Some of our episodes will deal with serious subject matter, while others will be more lighthearted. Please keep in mind that I am not an expert on any of the topics I cover, just an interested party, and as always, listener discretion is advised. Hi everyone and welcome back. I'm Danielle and I'm here with Corey.
Good evening.
And you're listening to Crime and Mystery Canada. Thank you to everyone who's been listening so far. Our download numbers have actually been creeping up over the past few weeks, which is great news. Every download is appreciated, so thank you. On tonight's episode, we'll be discussing the disappearance of Dave McDermott. Dave McDermott was 30 years old on November 2nd, 2002, when he went missing. So Dave sounds like he's a really interesting guy. For work, he did some odd jobs. He also worked as a hairdresser and did some construction. He was described as a handsome guy and occasionally did some modeling. His family says that he was a bit enigmatic. I think that means that like maybe he kept to himself for some things a little bit.
Okay.
He was very loyal and close with his family and loved ones. According to a 2017 Vice article, Dave had been out on that Saturday night in Kitchener, Ontario. He was with some friends, and they were celebrating someone's birthday. So that night, Dave and his friends were at a place called Club Renaissance, which was a nightclub that is now closed. They were celebrating a friend's birthday. They were partying, dancing, overall just having a good time. According to the article in Vice, Dave was supposed to swing by a Nexus place around 3 a.m. to pick up some hockey equipment because he was scheduled to play a ball hockey game the next day. He didn't make it to his ex's house. All of this sounds a little bit tiring to me, staying out till 3 a.m. and playing ball hockey the next morning.
You can't glide when playing ball hockey. So, I mean,
it takes effort.
Yeah, you have to run a lot.
It sounds like he was pretty high energy and like involved in a lot of stuff.
He does sound like an interesting guy. He had a lot on his plate.
Yeah.
In a good way.
The next morning, one of his cousins showed up to pick him up because they were headed out to the ball hockey game, but Dave wasn't there. So that Sunday morning, when he wasn't at his place to greet his cousin grew concerned. This wasn't like Dave. He decided to reach out to Dave's sister to see if she had any idea where her brother could be. His sister Colleen had seen her brother earlier the night before. Dave was supposed to be giving Colleen's husband and her son a haircut the next day, so she'd stop by to pay him for the haircut in advance. Obviously, when she got that call from their cousin, it was very concerning to her. So she did what most of us would probably do. She started calling around to every one of Dave's acquaintances that she knew to see if they could track down her brother.
Was she in Kitchener as well?
I believe she might not have been in Kitchener proper. It doesn't really specify, but I'm assuming if her brother's cutting her husband and son's hair,
I suppose,
they must be pretty close by. According to Colleen, when she called the property where Dave was living with his roommates, one of his roommates answered the phone and told her that Dave wasn't living there anymore and abruptly hung up on her. So she had been by their place the day before to pay Dave. He'd been there. He'd been living there.
Oh, wow.
And then the next morning when she calls, she's told he doesn't live there anymore. I can only imagine how upsetting that would be when you're, like, getting that sort of tingly, worried feeling.
Yeah, you can't find him in the one place he should be, and he suddenly mysteriously doesn't live there, but yet just 24 hours prior.
So a few days actually went by. His other sister, Rhonda, was kind of involved at this point, so they were really concerned and wondering what had happened to their brother, but it took them a few days before they got in touch with the authorities. And I sort of get that. I mean, Dave was an adult. He was 30. It sounds like he had a really busy life. Part of you probably thinks and hopes that he just decided to go on an adventure or started doing something and just forgot to pick up the phone and tell us. So I can see the clock ticking and growing more concerned, but not sure when's the right time to contact authorities.
It seems like a big step when you're not sure.
Yeah.
Like, he is an adult. If it was a kid, obviously it'd be a different situation. Also, when is this? Sorry?
2002.
Yeah, I mean, cell phones were a thing.
They were, but they weren't...
Not everybody had one.
I didn't have a cell phone till like 2004. More than that. I didn't have a cell phone till 2006 or 7.
I don't remember when I got my first one, but it would have been like 03, I think. Pretty early.
When they finally went to the police, and I say the word finally, understanding full well that they weren't just sitting there doing nothing.
Of course.
When they finally went to the police, they actually found out some pretty disturbing news. They found out that there was a warrant out for Dave.
Oh, wow.
So he was wanted for allegedly assaulting someone. I don't know any details about this, but it was an assault charge. When they went to the police, this information was shared with them. In the Vice article, they do mention that this warrant has since expired because
he's gone.
He's been missing for so long. The police ended up meeting with the owner of the property where Dave was living, and the owner also lived in the property. So he owned the house, lived in the house, and rented some rooms. He was actually a friend of Dave's, and they'd known each other for many years, according to a 2014 CTV news clip about the case. Dave was renting a room in the basement from him. This man told the police that Dave had come home that night after being at the club and said that he'd really done it this time. So that's apparently what Dave told the owner of the house.
Okay.
The owner said that he packed a bag, had a big wad of cash on him, took his dog and left.
I didn't know he had a dog.
This is going to come up again a little bit later.
Okay.
Dave's family doesn't believe this version of the events, and they make this clear in various interviews and articles, but they did feel like the police were believing what was said. It makes it sound like Dave left of his own free will, that he'd done something and just decided to take off. That story, coupled with the fact that there was a warrant out for him, I can see why the police kind of would have taken that tack.
Almost in an instant, I kind of almost forgot about the warrant. But yeah, I mean, a guy who works odd jobs and cuts hair, and I would think wouldn't really have access to a big wad of cash. So I think right off the bat, that would be a bit of a red flag, I think.
The police were looking for him.
Yeah.
They were looking for him more as a person with a warrant out for him than a person that might be missing against their own will. So it's not like they did nothing, but I think the search sort of was taking a different turn because of that.
I wonder what the severity of the warrant.
Yeah, they don't really go into it. So I have no idea what happened there.
Like because if it's something significant, then I can understand the police going one direction over the other. Like if it's for assault or something.
It is for assault.
Okay. Or like robbery or whatever. Like I can see them taking more of an aggressive stance for something like that versus a missing person.
Right. And the question is like, Dave's not here to defend the assault charge, right?
Of course.
So we've no idea what happened. Obviously, no one should ever assault anyone else, but we've no details on the story.
Exactly.
So we really don't know what that's for. Dave's family does mention that he used to take some fishing trips, so he kind of escaped to go on a fishing trip, but at no point would he ever be out of touch with his family.
Well, yeah, you had said in the bio he was close with his family, so.
Yeah. Also, this is November, so it's not peak fishing season either.
I wouldn't think, especially if you're going camping or something too. Like if he's gone for more than a day or so, like he might be out there for some period of time. November is not a deal breaker for camping, but I mean, it's not easy either.
His sister Rhonda told the Muskoka Region News that a few days before he disappeared, she had bumped into her brother at a corner store, and it looked like he just had gotten beaten up. He didn't want to go to the hospital. He told her he just needed to get some rest. From what the police found, they didn't believe that Dave owed any substantial debt to anyone or that he was involved in any serious type of organized crime. They did find that he had a bit of a reputation as a party boy, and there was some history of recreational drug use, according to an article from the Muskoka Regional News from 2014. The police said that Dave lived a high-risk alternative lifestyle. They said that he'd been involved with people that were married and may have been involved with more than one person at once. No matter what your lifestyle choices are, though, like, you don't deserve to be made to disappear, whatever the reason for it. You don't deserve not to get as much
help and assistance as you need to, you know, get on in life, or if you're missing.
You deserve the same support from the police, the same involvement than anyone else out there. Also, despite whatever he did in his lifestyle, he had a family that cared for him. He had friends. There's people who really want answers as to what happened.
Yep.
I mean, they loved him. He was close to them. And they deserve answers. Alternative lifestyle, or, I mean, I don't even know what that really means, but they deserve answers. They deserve to know what happened to Dave. The police also found out that he'd been working for a construction company at the time he went missing, and he'd never picked up his last paycheck.
Which would also rule out the wad of cash.
I mean, he may have had cash from another source, but usually, I mean, I do feel like if someone's going to disappear, you take your money with you, right?
Yeah.
Weeks went by without any information on what had happened to Dave, but then in January 2003... his car was located at an apartment building just around the corner from where he lived. It was in the parking lot of that building. It was snowed in and looked completely abandoned. So despite finding the car, nothing really seems to have come from it. Nothing. The case didn't really move forward.
Hmm.
Everything stayed really quiet about it until about 2008 or 2009. I've seen both those dates used in different news articles, so I'm not unsure which year is correct, but around that time. So what happened in 2008-2009 is the police decided to reopen the case, but this time they reopened it as a homicide case. The reason for that is that they received a tip about someone called in to say that they knew what had happened. Obviously, in their story, he had been killed. So the police decided to investigate this. Ultimately, they ruled that tip out as false. So whatever the tipster was saying, they decided was completely untrue after an investigation. Yeah. However, they did find out a few things. And one of them is that Dave's dog, Dioji, was found loose running around just a few doors down from where Dave was living, and he was picked up by the Humane Society on the day he went missing.
Okay. It seems a little strange to reopen a case and rule it a homicide just based on the tip. Like, did they have any other information?
The only thing that I read was that they got this tip, they reopened it as a homicide investigation.
Okay. Oh, that might be standard practice. I honestly don't know, but it's just a tip.
True, but I suppose if you get the tip that it was a homicide, you're going to investigate it as such?
Yeah.
To rule it out, if nothing else? Dave's family, who's worked hard for many years searching for answers about what may have happened to him, thinks he died in the house where he lived. They believe he may have gotten in an argument with someone and was killed. So ultimately, that's their belief. At this point, with the investigation that they did, despite the fact that the tip was false, the police also believe that he may have been killed by someone he knew. The property where he lived had since been sold, and the new owners allowed the police in to investigate, but they didn't turn up any conclusive evidence. It's been a long time, though, if we're talking about like 7 or 8 years later, right? As time goes by, the family hopes that new information will come out, or technology will advance and allow further testing in the house. Dave's file remains open, and he's considered missing under suspicious circumstances. In 2018, when Bruce MacArthur was arrested, some believe that Dave could have been one of his victims, but according to a 2018 CBC article, the police ultimately ruled that out as well. They didn't find any link between Dave McDermott and Bruce MacArthur.
I don't remember Bruce MacArthur.
There was a rash of disappearances of gay men in the Toronto gay village. Basically, these missing men were being reported by friends, and the police, I don't know how hard they investigated because these men were living alternative lifestyles.
I was just going to say alternative or high-risk lifestyle.
And then a lot of people started talking about a serial killer.
Right.
And the police would say, no, there's no serial killer. No, there's no link. This. Yeah. Ultimately, Bruce MacArthur at one point was arrested. Yeah. He is a serial killer. He's quite prolific. Got away with many murders. Dave was bisexual. So I think that's where they thought maybe there'd be a link. And Kitchener isn't far from Toronto. So I can see how people made that leap. And I think still to this day, they're investigating some disappearances that may be linked to Bruce MacArthur, like out west as well, because he lived there for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, the police are saying that they didn't find a link in this case. Hmm. At the time of his disappearance, Dave was 6'1" and 186 pounds, with brown hair and brown eyes. He was known to frequent bars in both Kitchener and Waterloo. Many years have passed since 2002 when he went missing. Relationships and loyalties tend to change as time passes on. Someone out there might be ready to talk. If you have any information about this case, you can contact Crime Stoppers at 1-800-222-8477. Or you can contact the Waterloo Regional Police at 519-653-7700. It's time to give Dave McDermott's family some answers about what happened to him.
I do always sort of find it interesting when somebody in their 30s or 40s or whatever, you know, around my age, goes missing. Like, it's kind of makes it a little more real, I guess.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we all sort of walk around with this sort of it can't happen to me thing. And then you hear a case like this where somebody's like, wow, like that's, yeah, I'm 42 now, but I couldn't imagine somebody coming after me in my 30s. It's like.
And I think part of the problem with that is certain cases generate more media attention. And a missing male in his 30s probably isn't necessarily the most interesting story for the media, so sometimes these stories don't get as much coverage as they should. I think we need to find a different way to react to missing people. Like, it needs to be out in the media differently, because a lot of them we never even hear about.
I find that there's not usually a sense of urgency about it. It's not like the news story of the day, just like, oh, John Smith of such and such town went missing, he's 30 years old. And that's it. Like, it is sort of glossed over, I find.
We're going to be finishing up tonight with our moment of kindness. So the one I have to share is actually quite small, but I think it was just a reminder to me that little things count. Like, it doesn't have to be a grand gesture, just a tiny thing can count. I was in a Costco parking lot the other day, and quite a ways ahead of me, someone was walking to their car with their cart, and something fell out of their cart. The person pushing the cart did not notice. Several people walked by and looked at what had been dropped and didn't do anything. And when I say several, I would say probably about half a dozen. I was quite far away, so I was assuming someone was going to react at that point. I was kind of too far to do anything. But then finally, someone picked up the item and jogged up to the person who dropped it and gave it back to them. So it was just a little gesture, but half a dozen people walked by and didn't do anything. And they saw it happen. I mean, most of them for sure saw it happen, and they just chose not to react. So I just found it interesting and a little bit touching that someone actually in a busy, crazy Costco parking lot went like, okay, I'm going to give this person back their spinach that had fallen out of their cart.
But why wouldn't you? I don't get it.
I don't either, but I think the point is that I don't want to say it's not a grand gesture. It's just a small thing. And in our minds, we think, yeah, anyone would do that. But I think seeing this event just proved that not anyone would do that.
Yeah, the whole anyone would step up argument has really been busted in the last couple of years.
Yeah. But people still do step up, and I think that's what we need to remember. Yeah. And I think that's what we need to all keep doing. as small as the gesture is, it may still be important. So the person wouldn't have died if the if that item hadn't been picked up and they got home and they didn't have it. That's not really the point. The point is, like, you saw something happen that you could rectify, so why not? As always, a big thanks to everyone who's been listening. If you want to get in touch, you can reach us at crimeandmysterycanada@gmail.com, or you can find us on Instagram at crimeandmysterycanada. There's also a Facebook group with the same name. Stay safe out there, everyone, and have a good night.
Good night.